Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder when I drop my kid off at school and deliver an episode to you while I walk home. I'm Brendan Riley. Good morning, listeners. It is Monday morning, November 5th, a soggy Monday morning here in suburban Chicago. It rained all day yesterday and must have rained some through the night because all the sidewalks are still soggy and the gutters still have water in them. So, blech, gross day. Oh well, it's a work day, so I'm gonna go home and sit at my computer anyway. But I thought I would talk to you a little bit while I'm walking. So I spent the weekend at a swim meet. I worked 1, 2, 3 sessions and I got three of my remaining trainings to become a swim referee. I have 2 more training sessions to do, and then I will officially be a referee, which is the highest level official at a meet. There are higher certifications I can get that, you know, guarantee my ability to ascend to the higher ranks of officialdom. I don't see myself probably doing that too aggressively, but it depends how eagerly and aggressively my daughter stays in swimming. But I thought I would share a bit about that and expand on the discussion I had a long time ago about swimming as a game. So I'll put a link in the show notes back to the early episode of Pick Up and Deliver in which I talked about swimming as a game, but I wanted to expand on it here. So as the swim referee, so if you don't know anything about competitive swimming, if you've just watched it on TV or whatever, you might notice there are these people standing around. There's the person who says, "Take your mark." And then there are a bunch of people standing around the pool watching the swimmers. Those people standing around are looking for violations in technique and the rules of swimming. There are 4 different kinds of swimming officials. There's an administrative official whose job is to make sure all the paperwork and the timing and all of that come out correct. They have a sort of different path than all the other officials because their job is to work with the equipment and to sort of do the bookkeeping. But then there are 3 other tiers of officials. There are judges or stroke and turn judges. These are people whose job it is to watch the swims in the pool, observe is the word, and indicate if they spot an infraction of the rules. Then there's the starter, whose job it is to start the race each time. And then there's the deck referee, who could also be the meet referee. And that's sort of the person whose job it is to wrangle the others and to make judgment calls about which rules to enforce when. They're the arbiter of the whole thing. So I was thinking about this a little bit. As I said, I've done 5 of my sessions to be a meet referee. However, I've only done those at 2 meets, and like a complicated board game, in order to become a meet referee, I have to have at least 6 trainings at least 4 different meets with at least 3 different trainers. And one of the people who does my 5th or 6th training needs to be a certified trainer, which is somebody who knows even more than the average trainer and can then give me, I don't know, super mentorship advice. This weekend I got my 3rd, 4th, and 5th trainings, and it's only my 2nd meet, so I need to do 2 more meets. So there's an argument to have not done my 5th training. However, the guy running the meet this weekend is one of those certified trainers, so he was able to do that special training, which I might not get at the next 2 meets I go to. And so I did an extra training now to make sure that I got that certified one so that I wouldn't get stuck after 2 meets from now and have to go find another session and sort of go out of my way to get it. Since I was already going to this meet anyway, I was able to do that. But I want to talk about the, setting aside the administrative official. Actually, I could do that too. So I want to talk about the 4 roles of swimming officialdom that I've had and my relationship of them to the experience of playing games. Because as I said in that previous episode, it's strange that the swim meet is a kind of game. It's a sport, obviously, but the playing of it involves testing the rules, pushing the boundaries of rules sometimes, and The game part of it for the officials is trying to balance the needs of fairness with the goals of the needs of fairness for the individual versus the needs of fairness for the meet. And it becomes a kind of game in your head. I wanted to share the four different kinds of officials and equate them to different kinds of gameplay experiences. So first is the administrative official. Occasionally you'll play a game where your job is mostly administrative. I believe that the original Mansions of Madness had this effect, that most of what the main storyteller did was manage the scenario, and that they didn't have a lot of input into the gameplay. Another example of this kind of gameplay would be the management of all of the resources and tracking in Gloomhaven, that when we play that, usually we have somebody whose job it is to put the hit counters on the monsters and flip the cards over and keep track of the elements going up and down and that sort of thing. So there are some games that have a fair amount of bookkeeping. The administrative official is sort of that person. And if you're somebody who kind of likes that bookkeeping thing, you know, being an administrative official at Swim Meet, it fits pretty well. Okay, so that's you know, that's kind of on the side of game playing. Although I suppose if you like something like the old Strat-O-Matic baseball or one of these more really elaborate solo games, that being an administrative official is sort of like that, because part of your job is to spot problems and fix them. So the three other kinds of players, there's the stroke and turn judge, the starter, and then the meet ref. So the stroke and turn judge feels a bit more like being a conventional player, in that you have these rules that you know, and then your job is to kind of run within the system and try to use the rules to the best of your ability. Now, as a stroke and turn judge, your job is to watch, observe the swims, and if you see an infraction, you're supposed to call it, but you're not supposed to be scrutinizing the swimmers for infractions. And you need to balance the observation, and this is the game part, so that a swimmer in heat one, where they're the only swimmer you're watching, is not subject to more observation than a swimmer in heat four, where you're watching three or four swimmers. Now, if you're watching three or four swimmers, you're only giving each of them a quarter of your time. If you're watching one swimmer, you shouldn't be giving them 100% of your time, because it's more likely that you'll observe an infraction than with those four. So you end up literally watching empty lanes of the pool. That's your job. You're instructed in doing that, and with trainee refs, we watch for them to do that. Make sure that they're watching empty lanes of the pool so that all the swims are being observed equally. And then as a stroke and turn judge, the other part of your job, is to observe the swims, and if you see an infraction, you indicate that. But then the other part of your job is to write up that infraction and report it. And part of what it is, you learn to describe it. It's sort of like the playing game part is like you learn how to describe this activity. You learn how to engage in the practice of reporting the call. Then there's being a starter. And being a starter is far more like role playing. Generally, as a starter, you understand the stroke and turn. You've learned that game well. But now, like in a role playing game, you're trying to figure out how to make the game best for everybody who's playing. As a starter, it's your job to watch the players and watch the swimmers and sort of tell when they're ready to go. And then you say, take your mark, and you go. You're still watching for swimmers who are moving too early or doing actions that would disqualify them. But generally, you're trying to get them started in as fair a way as possible. And there's all these nuances that you have to watch out for, in the same way that if you're playing a role-playing game or a board game, you need to know the exceptions that make the rules complex. But as the starter, it's far more like playing a character and trying to read the vibe of the group and have fun with everybody else. That's kind of the nature of being a starter. So continuing the role-playing aspect of it, being a swim referee is much closer to being a DM. That your job is to make sure that the meet is going to run well. There's a lot of prep to do before a meet starts if you're being a meet ref. If you're being a deck ref, you don't have much prep to do before. You have a lot to do during the session. I guess being a meet ref would be sort of like being a part of a group of storytellers for a large-scale RPG like a LARP, or another game where many, many people are playing and there's a very complex story going along. So you might have storytellers who are given certain powers to tell part of the story, but then you are keeping track of the whole thing. And so being a meat ref is sort of like that, in that you have deck refs that you would assign to do work and you would ask them to do things. But then as the meat ref, you then kind of keep an eye on everything else. At a smaller meet, you would do the prep and run it. So think about like a smaller role-playing game where you have just your players. As the DM, you'd have to know the rules inside and out. You have to do all the prep for the game, and then you run the game also. So at a swim meet, as the meet ref, especially a small meet where you might have a meet ref and the deck ref, as the meet ref, you have to get the meet ready, you have to find out who's going to be working, you have to arrange all that. And then when people come onto deck, you then also become the deck ref, and you're managing the stroke and turn judges and the starter. And part of your job is to make sure everybody has a fair meet. So if somebody comes up because they missed an event, you have to decide whether to put them in or whether that's building in a obligation to other swimmers that you can't maintain. You also have to make judgment calls about the calls that your officials make. One of the interesting things about the way the officialing works in a swim meet is that no infraction is a disqualification until the meet ref says it is. So like the practice is when a swim official spots a disqualification or an infraction, they report it as a potential disqualification. So here's an example of a radio exchange between a stroke and turn judge and a deck ref. So stroke and turn judge might say, okay, so I'm gonna explain the rule first. So for instance, in the backstroke, you have to be on your back whenever you're swimming. And in like a good game like Netrunner, all of these elements are defined very precisely. So a swim in swimming is after a turn when your feet leave the wall. When your feet leave the wall, then you are swimming. So if you push off the wall facing forward with your chest toward the bottom of the pool, or in swim parlance, your shoulders pass vertical toward the breast, that means you're illegal for the backstroke because you are supposed to be on your back. However, you could start turning in the water while you're pushing off. And as long as your feet are still touching the wall, you're still doing your turn. You haven't actually started swimming yet. So the way that we judge that as a stroke and turn judge is you watch the swimmer's feet, and when their feet leave the wall, then you scan up the rest of their body to see where their shoulders are. And if their shoulders are straight vertical or turned toward the back so that their back is toward the bottom of the pool, then they are legally swimming. But let's say a swimmer, it'd be an 8-year-old or a 6-year-old, leaves the wall on their front. They swim a couple of paddles and then they remember they're supposed to be doing backstroke and they flip over to their back. So that's a clear swim with the shoulders in the wrong position. So then the stroke and turn judge would raise their hand, and assuming we're using walkie-talkies, they would call in and say, potential disqualification in lane 3, shoulders pass vertical toward the breast after turn 2, or swimming not on back after turn 2. Then as the referee, I would ask some questions, because part of my job is to look for inconsistencies in their story. Are they sure they saw what they saw? So I might say, thank you, potential disqualification, lane 3, swimmer had shoulders toward the breast. Please confirm that you saw the feet leave the wall before you observed the infraction, and let me know how long did the infraction occur. So the judge might recall back, yes, I saw the feet leave the wall. The swimmer took 2 strokes while on their breast and then turned over to their back. So the judge is able to firmly confirm what it was they saw. And so as the referee, I'd be comfortable accepting that call. So I would say, thank you, I accept that call, write it up. And then the swim judge writes up a slip that indicates all that. Then I double check the slip is accurate, that they're DQing the right kid, or the kid they told me they were DQing. And then I would sign it. And then the kid is officially disqualified once I sign the form. So in that way, it's sort of like being a DM in that I'm running the event. I want the kid to have a fair swim. I want them to have a fun time. I want the referee or the judge to feel valued and their observations to matter. But ultimately my goal is to make sure it's fair for everyone. And so I have to both know the rules and know the nuance. Like if I were to say, confirm that you saw their feet leave the wall before you observed the shoulders, and they say, oh, I was looking at their shoulders, I don't know exactly when their feet hit the wall, and they turned to the back, then I would say, well, how far out did they go? And they're like, I'm not sure. Those two not sures, to me, that's reasonable doubt. And I would say, thank you very much. We don't need to write up that call. And I would decline the call. And as swim referee, that's my job, to give the benefit of the doubt to the swimmer. Well, I'm not sure that was interesting, if that was interesting or not, but it's what I've been thinking about in the context of thinking about games, particularly role-playing games, which my daughter has been bugging me for a while to try to get a Shadowrun game going. So I've been thinking about that, and I've been thinking about what do I need to do that and do it well. And it seems like part of what I need to do is spend some time with the Shadowrun rulebook. So, well, thank you for listening. What other things in your life do you do that remind you of games, and how? Drop by Board Game Geek Guild 3269 and let us know. I'd love to hear what your game experience is like and how it relates to, or what your life experience is like and how it relates to games. I'll see you on Board Game Geek. Thanks for listening. I hope that your next walk is as pleasant as mine was. Bye-bye.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.